so much about His love to praise Him for. Well, if you'll take your bulletin there, and we have our scripture reading, and on the bold parts, if you'll read us with it together. Psalm chapter 121, and verse number 1 says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Brother Don Orser, if you'll come, sir, and open our service in prayer, please.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning so thankful for this place that we can come and worship you, Lord, and meet as fellow believers and open your word and, hear what you have for us today, Lord. We thank you for, the beautiful weather outside. Thank you for just the opportunity to gather here, Lord. I pray that you'd bless Pastor Mark as he brings the message today, that you'd fill him with your Holy Spirit, and that we would have hearts that are open to receive what you have for us today, Lord. And we'll thank you and praise you for all of it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let's take your hymn books, stand as we turn to hymn number 323, At the Cross, hymn number 323.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and he was love in God, would he devote that sacred lip for sinners such as I? At the cross where I better saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there my pain, I received my sight, and
Amen. Thank you, Brother Mike Wright. Appreciate that. Wow, it's good to see you at the home place this morning. It's good to see anybody this morning. I left out it from Danielsville, Georgia last night about 6 o'clock, and down the road we came, got in. Bed at 2 o'clock. I'm not sure what time I woke up. I just knew I had to get in the shower and in the car, almost in the same motion to get here to church. But it worked. The Lord got us home and here safely. And I think Pastor has something to share from my dad with you about his feelings on everything. But just from me, I just want to say this personally, as the family of John, Becky Reynolds, we appreciate the way you treated our parents. We appreciate the way that you loved on them last week and throughout the years that they've been here. Yes, I miss them terribly right now. And that's just natural. This was the 4 years I got to spend with them in my adult life to live near them. But to see the send off and the way that you handled them was magnificent. We thoroughly appreciate it. You have our deep gratitude for the way that you handled that, the way that you gave the gifts, everything. But I know Pastor will say something more about that in just a moment. But that's just from us, from our family, from my brothers and sisters and all of us represented by that. So thank you for that. This might be the first time that you've been to Volusia County Baptist Church. And if it is, we want this to be a special day for you. First of all, we want you to know that you're welcome here with us. Our ushers have got some cards. I want you guys to come on ahead forward, if you will, please. If this is your first time being with us at what we call the home place, okay, here at Volusia County Baptist Church, we want to remember your visit with us. If you would be so kind, would you just simply raise your hand just long enough for one of these ushers to bring you a card and the pen that goes along with it? And all we ask is if you would just slip your hand up long enough for them to get to you, then put it back down. It shouldn't take them long at all to get to you. If you can keep the pen, we'd love for you to keep the pen. But if you'll drop that back in the offering plate, we would have an opportunity to know you were here, to mark your time with us. And as an additional thing, and Pastor and I have not talked about this for a few weeks, are you going to be available on the patio as we had spoken about?
Not this morning.
Okay. There's going to be some time where we'll have some chances to get to know him. This morning's kind of crazy. You'll find out why in just a moment. But things are going full throttle around here at the home place. But we would love to have that record of your visit with us. And if you would, come by down front this morning, grab me by the church sleeve, Brother Tim, or someone like that, and let us know. We want to be able to meet you, get to know you for a moment. We do have some announcements. They're not all Journey announcements. They'll seem like it. But we do have some announcements we want you to pay attention to. They're in your bulletin. So if you don't have one of those, make sure you get one before you leave this morning. But I turn your attention to that just briefly. Journey work days. You see that next two Saturdays, October 29th, November 5th, back-to-back, 9 o'clock a.m. And there are all kinds of things that need to be done. And we need all kinds of hands, all kinds of skills, all kinds of laborers. We need stuff that's not as difficult, that's a little more meticulous. We need things that are just difficult, hard. We need the strength. We need the muscle. But maybe you don't have to work out your brain too much. We've got all the brains ready to go. But we need people. And we know that you're ready to work. We remember what the folks in the book of Nehemiah did. The Bible says the wall was built. And it was built an incredible time because the people had a mind to work, a heart for the Lord and a mind to work. And this job can be accomplished with the blessing of the Lord. So we're looking for folks to turn out. We need you. We need something that you have to provide and to offer to us, to the Lord, I should say, the next few Saturdays and any days that you have available. But you'll understand more about that even as the day goes along. Super Seniors Luncheon on November 11th. That's just around the corner. Squire Parsons Concert. We haven't really mentioned this in the main service. Perhaps in the other services we have, but Squire Parsons coming back on November the 13th. You're going to want to be here for that. Candy stockings on November 14th. These are things that you have listed that you're going to want to be here for. I'll mention one more thing, and then I'll let Pastor have the pulpit so he can explain to you what's happening this morning with those sheets that you found in your chair this morning. Search the Scriptures. We will meet. We will meet. Lord willing. We will meet this Saturday at 3 o'clock. Last month was kind of crazy with Hurricane Matthew and some of the other things that took place. We were unable to have our meeting. And some of you wanted to discuss 2 Peter, and that's fine. Bring your thoughts from 2 Peter. We're also going to discuss, of course, 1 Chronicles 16 and 17. And there's still some study guides in the back if you'd like to jump in with us, especially auditorium class. I've challenged you especially. But, man, get in on this last week, and then we'll meet. Light refreshments, no meal, 3 o'clock this Saturday. Thank you.
Thanks, Pastor Aaron. Well, I do have a message from Pastor, and he is overwhelmed at the expression of love by Volusia County Baptist Church. What a joy. We talked about the planning of that service for weeks. We talked about it. And we prepared our people, prepared our junior church workers and our cooks and all that. We said it's going to be probably a longer service than usual. We tried to make sure that we didn't overdo it. But we said it might go as long as perhaps even noon. And I tell you, you all sat so patiently, and I had so many people tell me, they said, I could not believe that it was 1 o'clock. It did not seem that late. It seemed like things just kept going, and it was an emotional service and a rejoicing and all of that. So Pastor does have a message for us, and I wanted to share that with you here today. I'll make sure and get it here. Here we go. To everyone at the home place, Becky and I were overwhelmed by your outpouring of love last Sunday. We read a few notes from you and become emotional all over again as we remember you dear folks and the special relationship we have enjoyed over the many years. Then we read some more notes and go through the same process all over again. We are settling into our new situation and getting the house livable. Already we have talked with a contractor about building the porch, thanks to your generosity. Please be patient with us as we try to get thank you notes written. I'm afraid it is going to take a while. I did want to send this note of appreciation, express our love and gratitude. God bless all of you. Know that our prayers are for you, and we are counting on your prayers for us, John and Becky. That's how he signed it. He's always going to be pastor to me. He's pastor to us. As I put in the bulletin there, he is pastor emeritus of Volusia County Baptist Church. And that is a term of honor. That is a term of distinguished service for one who has retired from a field. And so he's always going to have that title. So I look forward to him preaching again in our midst here. And that'll be marvelous. We also have his address, and so I believe that we have that. If you put that up on the screen, many of you might want to jot this down, and we'll leave that up on the screen for a little bit. If you'd like to have that, there in Colbert, Georgia. And so if you'd like to jot that down while I'm talking about some other things, that would be just fine. Some people have asked about Voices of Victory. And Pastor was thinking about starting that up in September, but because of how things happened, he decided not to. Now with everything going on in the rest of this year, it's going to be rather hectic. And so Voices of Victory is going to restart in January. Going to restart in January. So if you filled out an application, we'll be contacting you, and there's time for others to get on board with that, and we'll start that up in January. We put in your bulletin something that hopefully will be a help to you in reconciling in your heart and mind what you as a Christian, according to the Word of God, should do as an American. Honestly, I'll tell you, I am not thrilled with any of the presidential candidates. Okay? I'm not thrilled. We're to love everyone, right? I don't want to embrace any of them. Okay? And so if you and I, as Americans, if we say, well, my person didn't get in there, or I don't particularly care for any of them, I would be dishonest to vote for any of them. I want you to please reconsider that thought. I want you to please reconsider that thought. If you look in the Old Testament, you'll find that God referred to a wicked man named Nebuchadnezzar. He referred to him as my servant. Go figure. That's what's in the Word of God. Now, God can take a crooked stick and still draw a straight line. God's in control. What I've put in your hands is something that was made available to us at Southwide Baptist Fellowship by a group called Awake America. And they have something that they have started several years ago called the Capital Connection. And they are ministering on an ongoing basis, week in, week out, ministering in Washington, D.C. to senators, congressmen, judges, and everyone they can possibly minister to. It seems like that when folks go to Washington, D.C., it seems like, well, we hope you fare okay. We hope you're all right. You know, it's a very difficult place to be, and God bless you, you know. These folks go in and they minister to these people, and they pray with them, and they visit with them, and they lift up their hearts to the Lord. They have, at first, they met a bad reception. They were stiff-armed by senators and congressmen and the like because they were afraid that they were out for something from them. And the more the time passed, now the senators and congressmen call these people up and they say, I need to see you. Would you please come? I need you to pray with me. And they come there to the office and they get on their knees and they pray with those senators before they go vote. And these leaders are seeing their responsibility before Almighty God. And so in this light, in this mind, this is the encouragement that they gave to us as pastors to present to our churches. They said, why not present to your people the platform of the two parties? And as you read the platform of the published platform, this is not edited. This you can verify the platform of these two parties. And obviously, one of these two parties is going to be in power. That's a given. The neutral and independents don't stand a chance. So one of these two parties is going to be in power. If you would take the time and read as a Christian, read what they promote in their own platform. I don't see how that a God-fearing, Bible-believing Christian, and I'll say this straightforward as principle upon the Word of God, could vote for the Democratic platform. I'm not talking people. I'm not talking politics. I'm talking principles of God's holy Word. And you make up your own mind. You decide for yourself. You say, well, I don't like him and I don't like her. Well, join the crowd. Perhaps it's time that we vote for the one we dislike the least. Think that. Now, if you don't vote, as one great leader in our country said, evil prevails when good men do nothing. So tomorrow begins early voting. And I ask you to make this a matter of prayer before God. Because the future of our nation, the future of for our children, our grandchildren depends on it. And the judges that will be put into place, we're not going to probably be the way things are moving. If things go poorly, our vote will not count much after this election, possibly, because there's a group of seven individuals that are going to make laws for us. So I'm leaving you with that, and I'm trusting that you will prayerfully go into that voting arena and go in educating yourself, if you will. So this is not slanted. This is actual fact, actual truth. And I hope it's a help and a blessing. There are specific things that are available back on the back tables. If you'd like to pick up one, there's a voter's guide that gives their stand both on the senator level and Congress level and presidential level and all that kind of thing. Those are available. We didn't put those in the bulletins, but you can pick one up on your way out. But this is what is public knowledge. And so I invite you to pray much for our nation. Well, okay. Wow. Now that we brought everybody down. On your seat. The election, no matter how it goes, remember this, God is still on his throne.
Amen.
He is still in charge. And so no matter how it goes, we're going to trust God and his sovereignty and all of this. But I definitely want to be able to say to the Lord, I did my part. As an American, I did my part. I voted. I didn't stay home, you know, that kind of thing. But beyond that, I'm trusting the Lord. I'm going to continue to serve him. He gave me a commission, and that is to win the lost at any cost. And God has put a tool in our hand called Journey Through Christmas. This is a crusade for souls under the tool of presenting Christmas and the story of Christmas, the true account and all of that. Let me explain for those who don't understand how this works. There is a box here that's in yellow, a box in yellow. I refer to it as gold, a golden box. This golden box and the things listed inside it are tasks, assignments, opportunities to serve that happen during Journey Through Christmas. That during the actual events, December 6th through 10. So now you can only be in one place at one time. So in the gold box, you can only select one. Now you might select one and then you might change. That's okay too. That's all right. But you can't be in the cookie tent and also be in a scene at the same time. You can only be one place at one time. But in the white list there, you can check many areas. Let's review these just for a moment. We need thousands and thousands of cookies baked. Now, please don't bake the cookies and bring them here and expect us to freeze all your cookies. We cannot. We don't have enough freezer space. But if you'd like to freeze some that you bake in advance, that'd be fine. Wrap them up real good. Preferably, if you have the time to bake cookies during Journey Week and bring them fresh, we'll put those out first. And fresh cookies. But baking cookies, we offer cookies and hot chocolate at the end of the journey. Decorating the auditorium, we need to make this a beautiful festive Christmas look in here, and we'll be doing that before the event, sometime right after Thanksgiving, actually. And then filling candy stockings. We have a great time. He mentioned this on, I believe it's the 14th of November, Monday morning, the 14th. We meet in the activities building there, and we have candy that people have donated, and little stockings, and we put on Christmas music and have tables. We usually have between 80 and 100 people that help stuff candy stockings every year. And the fun thing of it is that from time to time you have to test the candy and make sure that it's good. So we invite you to do that, but we have a good time. Every child who comes and attends Journey Through Christmas, they receive a free candy stocking. And some of our children, obviously, you might think this is not true, but it is. Some of our children don't receive Christmas gifts from their families. Some of them don't have a family. And some of them come to Journey Through Christmas and they receive this as a gift, and it's a highlight. And so it's just a way of us saying to them that we love you. Helping to build the scenes all around there. You're going to see construction has begun, actually, and it's going to be kind of a mess for a while. Please, as you are driving, please be careful. We'll do our best to make sure that we don't leave screws around that are going to give you a flat tire. But please be careful and as you drive through, because there'll be construction going on. We'll be working on this all through the weeks, throughout the workday week. There'll be some work going on different times, but especially on Saturday mornings, 9 o'clock, we'll provide you lunch. And we'll need some folks to help paint. We'll need some folks to help carry things. We'll need guys with screw guns to start putting things together and all that kind of jazz. There's something for everyone to do, And during these Saturdays, we'll be handing out tickets to businesses as well, hanging door hangers and all of this. We'll say more, but help building scenes. And then meals for work days. Whenever these guys work and ladies work from 9 to noon, you build up quite an appetite. And then we have a good time of fellowship here in the mall. And we have a big lunch. We had a good group. How many of you were here on yesterday? Would you raise your hand? We had a good group out. Some of our folks in the choir in different places. And this is before anything officially even started. So thank you so much for your work. Nancy Deason is in charge of our workday meals. And so if you could show up at 9 o'clock and help Nancy, that'd be a marvelous thing. Painting and props. I mentioned something about painting these walls that are going up. A lot to do there. A lot of new walls that are being made. And then this one right here. I'm going to ask you to circle prayer team. Prayer team. On Sunday evenings at 5:30, right here in the activities building where the choir usually practices, we're going to ask all of our folks that possibly can to come early and to come and have a special time, a specific prayer, starting tonight, 5:30. Now, listen, please. Anything that God does in a great way progresses on our knees in prayer. That's how we ask for God's blessing. We don't go out and work real hard and say, God, aren't you impressed? Wow, look at this. Aren't you going to? No. No, he's impressed when we humble our hearts before him and beg for his provision and beg for his leading and his power. It's not just so that we can construct things. This is just the preparation. It's so that whenever people come through, they begin sensing the gospel. They begin identifying with the story of Christmas, the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, how it all planned for that. And that when they come in the invitation room, the activities building, and they have the opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, they're gloriously saved. It might be the person who picked them up on a shuttle that expressed love to them that made an impact. It might be the usher who helped seat them, who smiled and said, and seemed to mean it when they said, it is so good to have you here. Your family is going to love this and you're going to enjoy every moment of it. Thank you for coming. That was an impact that touched them. I don't know who it will be, but it'll be an individual. It might be someone in a scene somewhere that when they looked at that person and they saw tears in their eyes, they saw not a great actor or an actress. They saw someone who believed what they were saying. So I don't know who God's going to use, but God's going to use all of us somehow, some way, if we have that heart's desire. No great preacher is going to preach a fabulous message that's going to point them to Christ. We're all the preachers during Journey Through Christmas. All of us are. So prayer team, 5:30. Please come and join us, if you will. Sewing and cleaning the costumes. We have quite a repertoire of costumes, but we're going back outside again after 2 years of being inside. We had some new types of scenes and things, and so it's possible we have some new costumes to make, and Rochelle Weiss is in charge of that. Tickets in stores and community. We have our tickets, Journey Through Christmas tickets, that are available today. We're trying to be on top of things. We're trying to not be behind the eight ball. So today, this morning, we have 60,000 tickets. We get 60,000 tickets every year, and we usually use up all of those. We increased the number of business card size tickets. You have a little acrylic holder. I know I'm taking extra time. Don't worry. I'm chopping the sermon. I've already talked to the preacher. And and we have these little acrylic business card holders. And it's basically the same ticket without the end there. And it makes for something beside a dentist office window, you know, where people sign in. If the dentist office will let those sit there and people can take one, it keeps them nice and neat. So those went extremely well and quickly last year. So we have a lot more of those this year. We have posters and flyers and all of that. So it's not too early to begin putting these out. And many of you have done exceptionally well with this. Something we've added this year are door hangers. And something that's new. Some of you, you like to walk for calisthenics and things. You walk through your neighborhood. I invite you to take a fistful of those with you when you walk. And maybe this time, just walk up the driveway and hang it on the door hanger. Hang it on the door hanger. Hang it on the door, you know, and doorknobs. So that would be a great thing. And then Journey Quick Change Team. Say, what in the world is that? We have to turn Journey Through Christmas back into Volusia County Baptist Church and do it quickly. We really do. Our auditorium that day on Saturday evening, we have to turn it back into our church service because we're inviting people back. We're inviting them back on Sunday morning for a Christmas dinner. And we've had a marvelous response from that. It was kind of hard the first year that we did it. People kind of looked at us like, you know, kind of odd, you know, you're inviting me for what? And the second year we were promoted a little bit differently and a little better. And we had a great turnout. And Cindy Sutherland is in charge of this dinner. And this is when people come to this church service on Sunday morning, you understand they've come and visited through Journey Through Christmas. Then they come back and they're here for a Sunday morning church service. They hear the choir and orchestra. They hear great preaching. Dr. Tom Farrell will be here preaching on Sunday morning. If you've not heard Dr. Tom Farrell preach, he has been preaching since he's a teenager, and he is an evangelist par excellence. He has a humble heart, and he has a drive for getting people to the cross of Jesus Christ. And I've asked him to be here, and he's agreed to be here on that Sunday morning. So then afterwards, we're going to feed them a great dinner. And so then those things in the gold box, these are during Journey Through Christmas. Actor in a scene. You do not have to have an Academy Award in order to be an actor in Journey Through Christmas. Your scene might last 45 seconds. It might last a minute and a half. You might have one phrase that you say, but you're going to say that phrase 35 times a night. After the first three or four times, it's going to be simple. It's going to be easy. And so those 35 times a night for five nights, that's your contribution. And so you can say it all different kinds of ways. But Lord, I don't understand. But Lord, I don't understand. You can do all kinds of different ways. And one of those would be an award-winning presentation, I'm sure. Actor in a scene. You may have never acted in a school play or whatever. That's all right. Perhaps God is touching your heart and said, I want you. You know, we have to have about 100 actors. 100. So please consider that strongly. And then cast dinner. All these actors, all these workers, all these parking attendants, we got to feed them. We feed in upwards of 400 people every night of Journey Through Christmas before it begins. And we put them through. And so we want folks going to work with a full tummy. And so if you could help us with that. Group guides. We have a guide and a co-guide, one in charge, leading the group, speaking, and one kind of bringing up the end, you know, kind of keeping the group together. And so we need about, let's see, there's 12, I think, 12 sets of guides, 12 to 14 sets of guides. So we need quite a few of those. And perhaps you'd like to be in that so that you can interact with a group. That would be wonderful. Maybe you do not want to speak and memorize the patter. You could be a co-guide and be an assistant to the lead guide. Nursery for workers. We have young people. We have one of our young ladies just walked out with her little one right here. You realize that they cannot participate in Journey Through Christmas with their little one, you know, for an entire week. There's no way. So some of our ladies, they have two shifts of nursery workers for our workers' children. We don't provide a nursery for the guests. I'm sorry, we cannot do that. But for our children of our workers, that's what that's for. Parking attendants and security. A gentleman, our guys seem to love to sign up for this, especially the security part, you know?
Yeah, ooh, that sounds manly.
You know,
security, yeah.
Well, we can use quite a few. We really can. And an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, they say. And just to keep everyone safe, we're going to have children out there. And so we have a perimeter and we have it all planned. And so that we can head off a problem before it becomes a situation. So we do have a need in that, and that would be great. Registration and ushering kind of goes together, greeting and all of that. I won't say much about that at this moment. I mentioned it earlier. Scene lighting and sound. When someone walks up to a scene, if we don't have the correct lighting and the correct sound that all comes on at the right time and all that kind of thing, that takes a lot of preparation. For 16 different scenes, everything has to fire right on cue. And so there's some of you who would say, yeah, I can push a button. I can move a slider. I can do that. That'd be great. Behind the scenes work. You're not acting, but you're making everything work for the actors. And then serving hot chocolate and cookies in the snack tent. This is the last touch that people have of Volusia County Baptist Church. The last touch. When they come out from the invitation rooms, they go to the snack tent and people, you know, the Christmas music is playing in the tent. And thank you so much for coming. Would you like some whipped cream on your hot chocolate? And make sure and pick out your cookies. Thank you for coming. God bless you. If you don't have a church home, you come back and see us now. You know, and it's that nice, you know, God bless you. How do you do? You know, kind of thing. And it's a last touch. So that'd be a great thing. And shuttle vans. Getting people here when they park at the school and driving them so they don't have to walk as far. If you'd be willing to be a shuttle van helper, maybe you're sitting shotgun and you can open up the side door for them, help them in while the driver sits there. And we need drivers and we need helpers in the shuttles. Say, now I'm really confused. I got so many things that I probably could do. I don't know which one to do. Well, why don't you pray about it? Why don't you ask God? I believe that God can impress you, and when He impresses you, don't say that two-letter word. No, no, somebody else would do better at that than me. No, I don't want to do that. When He impresses you to do that, it'll probably be something outside your comfort zone. Just say, Lord, is that you? Do you want me to do that? And then just by faith, check it. Just by faith, check it. So you can sign up for five or six things in the white category, but only one thing in the gold category. And then after you select the gold category, that's not in stone. You can change, but you'll change from one to another, and that'd be fine. After the service this morning, you might have questions about some of these. I invite you to slip back through these back doors, and I invite you to meet your director that you have signed up for, that you have checked the box for. And your director for the prayer time will be this evening at 5:30. Okay, that's the only exception. But if you selected something, I invite you to slip back there and you'll see all these different tables and all the signs and all this sound and lighting and parking and security. And you'll see all of that. And you go and show up. And I'm going to tell you more about this in just a few moments. So if I haven't bored you to death, please go ahead right now and write down your name and your phone number, the best phone number, whether it's home or cell, and your email address. Please go ahead and do that right now, even though you're not checking anything on the boxes at the moment. Go ahead. So that is done. That is ready. And then we'll deal with this at a later time. Thank you so much for your patience on this. This is not about a program. This is about pointing people to Jesus Christ. That is why we're taking time in God's house with God's people for God's work. And so I trust that you understand that, and what a pleasure it is that you have the patience to absorb it. Page number 330. Brother David's going to come and lead us in Are You Washed in the Blood?
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing blood? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace?
Come on down, please, if you will. We received the offering this morning. So thankful for the offering that went to Pastor, and he's overjoyed. And we don't know exactly how much was received because there was quite a stack of greeting cards that were sealed that were given to him, and so we're not sure about that, But in what came in through church envelopes and through cash that was not designated for missions or regular tithe, the number was 12,000, and I don't have the exact number in front of me. But so the actual number was definitely in excess of that. And so he seemed very, very pleased, and he's, you know, calling the contractor right now, you know, not now, but getting to work on it. So that's wonderful. And they start off the porch with two rocking chairs. And so that'll be great. Love to see a picture of them in those two rocking chairs one day. That'll be marvelous. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your blessing on our lives. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful church. I'm not speaking of the building, although the building is a blessing to be in. I'm speaking of your people, the family of God. And I ask you now that you would bless us. Lord, help us as we begin to serve you in a very intense way and very on purpose. And Lord, may we give on purpose. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless the gifts and the givers. And Lord, I ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you.
believe we could give an invitation right now. It's easy to get caught up in things that are going on, what's happening in the service. This is a new chapter where things are different. What's going on? What's coming up next? And then I look out and I see your face is gripped by the recollection of when you were a sinner rescued by the grace of God. And it snaps me back into my place. And I remember again, I appreciate the testimony of your faces, even as those things focus us back again. Now, last week was different. But I'm going to tell you that right there, you find that every week right here. Every week that choir does a fantastic job. And Pastor Sears is still the one leading them right now. And you can tell just with the enthusiasm, with the spirit with which they sing. And I want to sing like that for just a moment. We're going to get to our fellowship course. We'll stand when we do that. But before you stand up, get your voices ready. Let's sing the family of God. You saw those pictures as the offering was playing, the pictures from last week. That was family time, okay? And it's good to be a part of the family of God. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Join heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family of God. This is a great place, the home place to be a part of the family of God. The choir's going to come down in a moment. The orchestra's going to be dismissed in a moment. But before they do, I want you to stand, and in your bulletin is, because He lives. That's why we have this family. So let's sing a chorus of that, and then everyone will be dismissed to their seats, and you'll fellowship with one another as they do. And because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. While they play, choir, dismiss to your seats. Orchestra, fellowship with one another. Greet someone in the family of God here at the home place. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know, y'all have to help me now. And life is worth the living just because He lives. When November 8th, the sun sets, you can still sing Because He Lives. I can face November 9th, and you can, and we will victoriously in the Lord Jesus Christ. You may be seated. It is a privilege to have Miss Hope and Miss Joy to come and sing now a song I've liked for a long time. It's not an old song, but it has been around for a little while. And if you don't know it, key in on this and learn it while they sing it. And if you do, enjoy the reminder that His strength is perfect.
Turn your Bibles, please, to Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4. Thank you, ladies. Beautiful song, great message for our hearts today. You might be rather weak in your soul today. God is not weakened by your circumstance. God is not troubled by our situation, by the trial that we find ourselves in. There are some that would love to be here in our midst. They're watching by way of live stream. There are some that would love to be here, and they're in the hospital, like Richard Simpson over at Fish. Pray for him. There are some that are recovering, like Erica Moat, that cannot walk. But you and I are here, gathered together around God's holy word, Nehemiah chapter 4. Let's read one verse to begin with. In verse number 6, the Bible says, "So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work." Flip over to chapter 6. Chapter 6 and verse 15, the Bible says, "So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month of Elul, in 52 days. 52 days. It's more than coincidence that God laid this upon my heart and I began looking at a calendar. And I realized that starting today, 52 days from now, with this being day one, 52 days from now, we'll be gathered together again like this on the Sunday, rejoicing of souls being saved. Dr. Tom Farrell will be in this pulpit 52 days from now, extending another invitation for folks to trust Christ as their Savior. And many of us will be saying, thank the Lord, we've made it. For the people had a mind to work. 52 days to victory. I hope that you realize that this is a challenge put before us according to the will of God. You see, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That means folks in Seminole County, folks in Orange County, Volusia County, folks in Daytona, folks in Deltona. Doesn't matter where they are, God loves them, and we have the privilege of attracting them to an opportunity to hear the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If one person trusts Christ as their Savior, it is worth it all. One person. But yet, in droves, we see folks saying, yes, I understand that for the first time in such a real personal way. I went through the motions when I joined a church. I went through the motions when I got into a baptistry. I went through the motions that someone wanted me to do when I went forward. But honestly, my heart wasn't in it. I realized Jesus loved me. He died for me on the cross. And I saw it pictured like that little boy told his grandmother one year. He said, Grandmama, he said, I've heard the story of Jesus. But after I've seen it, I understand it now. And he trusted Christ as his Savior. What a wonderful thing. I look forward to the opportunity of this as a tool. But you see, there are many opportunities for us as a church to reach lost souls. This is just one of them. And this is one that we need the whole church to get behind. And such is the case here with Nehemiah. I give you just a few thoughts here. Nehemiah was a man greatly used because he first believed in God's word. He believed in God's word. You better believe what God says. Look, please, back in chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. Chapter 1 and verse 8 and 9. Let me just point you to these verses. And a letter, verse 8 says, and a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace, beams for the gates of the palace which appertain to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. According to the good hand of my God upon me. God was in charge. Look at verse 18, same chapter. Then I told them of the hand of my God which was upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. If you believe God's word, and if you believe that God's hand is in something, it excites you. You're on God's team. We ought not ask God to be on our team. We ought to ask God how to be on His team. And His team is pointing people to Jesus Christ. Now, I know there's a lot of good things a church can do. I understand that. We've been involved in a lot of those things. And I'm not saying that's not what we should do. I'm not saying that at all. But the best thing, the most important thing, the most critical thing, the single most mission God has placed upon our hearts as a church is to lift Jesus high and point people to Him to be saved. Many of the other things will fall into place if we do that correctly. And so I leave you with that thought, believing in God's word. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Daniel in Babylon believed God. Even though it was going to cost him something, it might even cost him his life, he believed God, and God saw him through it. Believe in God's word. That book that you hopefully have in your lap, I encourage you to dig into it. I encourage you to hide it in your heart. Believe God's word. Secondly, build in God's will. Not just believe in God's word, but build in God's will. God has a plan for our church, but I'm here to tell you good news. God has a plan for your life.
He wants to use you some way in His overall plan. You may not know how all that fits in. You see, we're looking at a tapestry from the underside. And sometimes it looks ugly. And sometimes the pattern cannot be found. And sometimes we wonder, what is God really doing? I don't see His plan and His design. I don't see that. Every once in a while, God gives us a glimpse from the upper side. And you know, the underside of a tapestry does look rather ugly, doesn't it? That's the ugly side. And we see the ugly side of life many times. Every once in a while, we see a boy, a girl, a mom or dad, and we see what God has done in changing their life and altering their destiny, not just eternally, but to bring a family back together. And we say, it is worth it. It is worth it. Build in God's will. Look in chapter 2 in this. Chapter 2 and verse 8. Chapter 2 and verse 8. You know what? I read the wrong verses. I'm trying to hurry. I read those verses early. Let's just move on. Build in God's will. You see, the preacher, the guy announcing the Journey Through Christmas, took most of the preaching time. Let me just suffice to say this. Right now, we have an opportunity to serve in God's will. Lord, what would you have me to do? And right now, it can be enclosed on this little piece of paper. It really can be. You see, this is more than an activity. This is more than something that I can help the church with. This is something that I say, Lord, this is something I can be used by you to do. I already mentioned how important it is to hand someone the cookies and to have a countenance of love and a tone of voice instead of saying, no, you only get two cookies. No, you can't only. No. Oh, you want four? Sure. You want a couple more? God bless you. We got plenty. So glad you came. There's a little difference there. It's a heart thing. We have folks that serve in so many different areas during this. But it's not just that. We have folks that vacuum, clean bathrooms. They straighten up and throw trash away that so many of us as church folk leave every single Sunday around here. Gum wrappers and all kinds of things. And they do this without thanks and without gratitude and without notice a lot of times. We walk in and we've just walked through nicely mowed grass and trimmed around the one dear lady. She said, you know, this must be a fine church, because I noticed that even the bumper stops, someone takes the time to weed eat around these bumper stops. She said, I'm going to come visit this church. Seems like y'all care about what you do. All these little things. It means a lot. It's not about pride. It's about His kingdom. This is His church. Somebody said something about a church being a business. Hey, listen, please. This is the best business in all the world. It's His business. It's God's business. They built in God's will. They believed in God's word. And last, aren't you surprised? They battled for God's work. They battled for God's work. If we took the time, we would see where Nehemiah, who was being criticized, who was being threatened, and the work was being threatened. And he told the men, he said, you're going to have a trowel in your hand. Make sure that as you're putting the concrete and the cement and all that in between the rocks and the wall, as you're doing that, have your sword in your sheath and wear your sword. Because alongside of Nehemiah, there was the trumpeter, who at a moment's notice, if necessary, he would blow it. It might be kind of like the football, you know, who would blow the warning that there was an attack. And they'd have to leave their job on the wall and they'd have to come and rally wherever the attack was and defend. They were ready to fight. But if you study the book of Nehemiah, you'll find an interesting fact. Even though they were threatened, and even though the threat was real and people wanted to attack, and even though they were prepared and they were armed and they were ready, you find that as they were building the wall, they never had to draw the sword once. Never once did they fight a battle, actually. You know where a lot of the battle was fought? A lot of the battle was fought on their knees. We find Nehemiah and his prayer life. Very few times do you find someone's prayer word for word in the Bible. We find in John 17 the prayer of Jesus. That's not the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is a model prayer. But this is the Lord praying word for word. And that prayer, as you study it, you'll find that he's praying not just for his disciples, that he's praying for us as well. And yet we find in chapter 1, we find a long prayer. And if you'll study this prayer, you'll find great things about the character of a man named Nehemiah. And how that he prayed, and not just once, but several times in the book of Nehemiah, do we find him praying. And God thought so much of his prayer life that he recorded it in the eternal scriptures, the eternal word of God. He said, what a prayer! He said, put it in there. Put it in the Bible. May I say that any great work for God, as I mentioned earlier, must be on our knees in prayer. We need prayer warriors, not just here at 5:30. There are so many things that have to come into place. So many people that have to be working together. We need the oil of the Holy Spirit to keep our attitudes and our hearts right. We need to not get cockeyed and cattywampus with one another. We need to make sure that the things come out of our coming out of our mouth. You know, sometimes we'll rub people the wrong way. This is a spiritual endeavor. And Satan will try his best to cause people to suffer and get discouraged. And your washing machine will break and your dishwasher will flood. And things will just go on in your life. You know what he's doing? He's trying to stop you before it ever starts. It happens every year. Put your armor on and get ready for it. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. He will see you through it. Say, well, it doesn't sound like fun to me. 52 days to victory. They had their sword on, ready for battle if necessary. They had their ear perked and ready to listen in case that trumpet blew. It never blew. God defended them. And God will defend you too. And if God allows something through with a permission slip of suffering into your heart and life, it'll be brought through for your blessing and for your good. In the end, you're the winner either way. So I invite you, please. If you have not yet had a habit of serving God, stepping out on faith and saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? What would you have me do? Some of you need to be baptized. You've been saved by God's grace. But for one reason or another, you've not followed the Lord in obedience to his command to be baptized. I know of at least one's going to get baptized today. Praise God. You know why I didn't get baptized for so long? For years I didn't get baptized. First, no one encouraged me to. But second, I was scared to death of water. As a boy, if I went swimming in a pool, I always stayed in the shallow end and I felt like a wimp. So afraid to put my head underwater. Honest, I'm just being straightforward with you. And whenever Pastor Reynolds baptized me, I did it because God said for me to do it. I was not thrilled about it. Now this, Brother Randy, this really doesn't mean, you know, amount to a whole lot. But be honest with you, after I got baptized, I wasn't scared of water. I went under that rope. That rope that has those things on it, I went under that and I began to learn how to swim. On my own, didn't take classes, took classes before, it didn't help. I don't know what's keeping you from being baptized. Maybe people think that you've been saved and baptized for 35 years. You and God know the difference. Why not settle that today? Maybe you've been visiting this church. And you've been here so long, everyone thinks you're a fixture. But you're not officially made it your home. Some are going to join today. Looking forward to that. Why don't you just take that step of faith, whatever it may be? And for you, if it's that thing on that slip of paper in front of you, let me encourage you not to leave here without putting your check marks on there. Let me encourage you to do that. I'm ending early, right now. It's our decision of what we're going to do to serve him. Let's bow our heads together, please. Heavenly Father, I ask you now that you would speak through our hearts and may your voice guide and direct our hands, direct our feet, direct our actions. Lord, if there are some that need to get baptized, may they surrender and say, I'm going to be obedient, Lord. If there are some that need to join this church, I invite them to come and say, I've been saved, I've been baptized, and I want to make this my official home. Lord, may you move upon their hearts. If there are some that are seeking your will, some that are praying for others, Lord, may we not be unaccustomed to the walk to the altar. May we bow the knee. May we call upon you. Lord, you will call upon us as you did Nehemiah. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. The instrumentals are playing. Would you stand, please, with your head bowed and your eyes closed? As they play the song, if God has moved upon your heart, whatever it may be, won't you come to Him right now? I'll meet you down here. I can't come and drag you down the altar. But there are others that are coming. What about you? If this is where you need to be as your official church home, I invite you to come. Maybe you want to come and pray for someone else. Maybe you need to pray for your family, a special need in your family. Whatever it may be, God will move upon your heart. God will give you the wisdom and direction. The song says, only trust Him. Only trust Him now. Come every soul by sin oppressed. Sing the first verse with me. Come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord. And He will surely give you rest by trusting in His Word. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, will save you now. God bless you, and may be seated. If you'll just stay with us a moment, I'd love to introduce some folks to you. Brad, God bless you, sir. Stand up here with me, if you would. This is Brad Nelson. And met Brad several months ago. Began attending the church here. And he and his wife, his wife is an interpreter over here. Paulette is, okay, she's right over here. But usually she's helping with the interpreting to the deaf. Got to know Brad pretty well during Easter season. He and I worked on several things for the Easter production and the presentation of the gospel. Had a great time together. And God has seen Brad through a life-threatening experience. And God brought him to the point that he had to have brass tacks with God. He had to know for sure that heaven was his home. And he didn't have that settled before. And before all this took place, right before all this took place, and before all the surgeries and all that kind of thing, God dealt with his heart. And Brad, did you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Amen. And that's settled and secure in your heart on God's promises.
Settled.
Amen. Amen. And we rejoice with him about this. And he said, you know, the first time I possibly can, whenever he got out of the hospital, he was still in pretty bad shape. And he's a man of his word. He's right here. First time he possibly can to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. So we rejoice with you. And we're thankful for you. Let's welcome him together as we sing our song. Welcome to the family, my friend. Welcome to this family of God. We're your brothers, we're your sisters. Come on in. Welcome to the family of God. Amen. God bless you, Brad. And Pastor Aaron, would you take him on up there, and we'll baptize him in just a moment. Well, wonderful, folks. God bless you. Stand up here. God bless y'all. This is Randy and Kathy Taylor, their son Seth, and more to follow, I think, sounds like, possibly even. And Randy and Kathy were part of the famous four families that God used with Pastor Reynolds when they planted this church. And so that includes Seth. That includes Seth. And they were involved from the get-go. And winning souls, singing, serving every possible way in those early days and all throughout the years. And then God moved him up north into the cold country. And they served there in a great church and did a mighty work for God. And as an assistant pastor up there. And then in North Carolina, pastored a church there for about a year. And God did some marvelous things. And then God's led them back down here. They saw many souls saved there in that church. And he has a special gift. All of them involved in soul winning. And Brother Randy, he teaches a soul winning course. He's taught it here. And we need to have that again in the future, Brother Randy. This is redundant, but I'm going to ask anyway. Brother Randy, you've accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Is that correct?
Correct.
And after your salvation, you follow the Lord and believers' baptism.
Yes.
And you want to join the church again right here and keep working for God. Miss Kathy, you've been saved and baptized after your salvation. You want to get back in the trenches with us, right? Amen. Serve the Lord. Seth, God bless you. Seth is a graduate of Pensacola Christian College and so proud of you. Seth, you've trusted Christ as your Savior. Amen. You've been baptized after you were saved and you want to rejoin this church and keep on working for God. Amen. We're excited about that. Many places to serve, and we want to welcome. Let's sing it together. Welcome to the family, my friend. Welcome to this family of God. We're your brothers, we're your sisters. Come on in. Welcome to this family of God. God bless you. Won't you all just have a seat right back here? And at the end of church service, there might be some folks who want to come and extend that official right hand of fellowship. Brother Brad is finishing up getting ready. He'll be ready in just a moment. Let me remind you that little sheet that you have in your hand. If you'd be so kind, it's not even 11:30 yet. The pastor did end in good time. Gave you the mini sermon today. If you would, don't leave the church with that. Unless you're just battling with something, you know, with the Lord, you know, but if you would please take that back there with you to the Journey Job Fair. Now, you say, Pastor Sears, I'm sorry. I would stay if I could. I had to leave no matter what happened. I've got someplace to go. My in-laws are waiting for us and I've got to be there, you know, and that kind of thing. Whatever excuse you want. But anyway, if you'd be so kind, if you have filled that out, please get that to us. We have to start our processes. So get that sheet to us. Give it to an usher. Put it on the back table where the lamps are back there at the back tables, and we will get it back there before you leave. And Miss Hope and I are going to be back there usually at the atrium when you leave. I'll be baptizing. I'm not going to make you wait any longer. I'll dismiss from up there. But normally after church, we'll be here in the atrium. We'll be available to you on any given Sunday. And would love to meet you on your way out, and not gonna hold the line back. We'll be out of the way. But if you have a question or something we can help with, we're available to you. My phone number is in the bulletin, as it's always been, and we encourage you to reach out to us if we can be a blessing. We're going to baptize in just a moment. I encourage you to stay, and you'll be glad you did. Take just a moment, please. Brad, You and I are buddies. But according to God's word, now we're brothers and sister. Your wife's sister. But we're brothers in Christ. Brad, upon your profession of faith in Christ Jesus, I now baptize thee, my brother, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Go and hold your nose. Buried with him in baptism. Raised to walk in newness of life in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Bless your heart, sir. Amen. God bless you. Let's stand together, please. We'll be dismissed in prayer. Thank you so much for being here. Service starts at 6 o'clock. Prayer meeting at 5:30. Choir practice at 4:30. Choir and orchestra. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of you putting us into your army to serve. Lord, you could have angels proclaim the gospel, but yet you gave us the privilege. Help us, Lord, to be willing. Thank you for what you're going to do now. Guide each of us in these decisions that we have before us. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you, folks. Thank you for coming. We'll see you hopefully tonight. God bless you.